I guess, yeah, welcome to the special twirl, another impromptu twirl here brought to you by Mainline GM in Rosetown and Mainline Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Rosetown, both the king of trucks and title sponsors of the Monday Nerd Podcast. Just Shane Belter joining me today. Fun little interview we did, Belts, with Jason Davidson from Thunder Creek Management, hockey agent. It's really kind of cool here. We're going to give people some perspective on, I guess, the business of hockey.
Yeah, I think it's something that everyone needs to know about. I don't think it's as, it's not as cut and dry as, your son's good or your daughter's good, say, and they're just going to rock and roll right to the show. There's a lot of hurdles and a lot of business sides of it that obviously come into play.
Yeah, it's the one story that really stood out for me is the one kid, how young he was, that he reaches out to. And it's not, I guess, a common thing, but it was super cool. And yeah, the beauty thing about him is he doesn't bullshit. If you were like a father with a kid, you would want him to represent, because he just kind of shoots it straight, like just from Asquith, Saskatchewan, good old boy, and he just shot it as straight as it could be.
And if you're that pigeon dad that likes to chirp a lot and are always yapping, you really need to listen to this. Maybe give yourself some perspective and, help you settle down a little bit.
Yeah. Pigeon dad, grab a Last Mountain or an 016 and you're going to have to drink it, because it's going to be like, oh, that's me. Let's mention again the title sponsor. Obviously, if you're heading looking to buy a vehicle, Rosetown GM and Rosetown Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram in Rosetown, official title sponsor. So now the new month here, they're going to be rolling out some new specials, but they do have that Costco special going on at the GM store. So, get out there if you're looking for a vehicle. Also, we got to give a shout out to Joel Trapp and Realty One and Robbie Peterson there, sponsors of the pod. And as always, the interview brought to you by Kent Bittner and MortgageFromMyCouch.com. Bitsy, over 20 years experience in the mortgage game, can help you anywhere you are. He's a good local boy, fastball, senior hockey. His team will help you out and getting a mortgage wherever you are. Anyone else we're missing there, Belts, before we get to JD?
I think we'll maybe just give Realty One a shout out. We'll give a shout out here to Synergy AG, since we're not doing shout outs on this one. Richie Brothers, Great Western Brewing. Actually, as we talk, I am sucking down a 016 Canadian Ultra Lager right now. So we'll give them a shout out.
Nice. And you know what? That's a nice segue, the beer drinking, because as we start to talk to JD here, he's kind of got two jobs. He's also a promoter and owns 3D bullfighting. Super cool stuff. They do it in Lethbridge. He's going to talk about, what they do there. And so any of those big bullfighting things, made for TV things, he owns that. And he talks about how he started repping that, which is really cool. The Wrangler story. Selling Wranglers. That's that's another
tight good. Jeans. Yeah. Tight jeans out of his van. Yeah, no, good story.
So Jason Davidson from Thunder Creek, and as the interview kicks off here, we're going to talk a little bit about his bullfighting days, and then about 3D, and I guess with COVID, how shitty of a year it's been. Here's Jason Davidson. All right, JD, thanks so much. Thanks so much for joining us here. So obviously right now the 3D bull riding and things is kind of taking the back seat. Thanks to Mr. COVID.
Yeah, 100%. She's pretty long summer in between gigs, that's for sure. But we did some made for TV events only. We went into the NMAC Center in Lethbridge. Our production team that does all our video and camera work is from there, and they're set right up in the NMAC Center in Lethbridge. So we went in there and did a couple performances with no fans, and then we finished our year off in Grand Prairie when we could still have 150 fans in the building. We had a real good partner and promoter up there that wanted to bring it to town. And we had some pretty good support locally. So we actually delivered everything we were supposed to for TSN this year, which talk about moving mountains, man. It wasn't easy. So we've got everything pushed out to third and fourth quarter for 2021. We're just buying time here right now.
Yeah, if people don't know, Jason Davidson's, he started 3D bull riding, so it's just amazing stuff, and a lot of people probably have been to the events and whatnot. Well, your other job is a hockey agent with Thunder Creek out of Saskatoon. And I guess we knew each other, you know, years ago and years back. And then, you know, when I heard that you were involved in that, I just thought it was so cool. I just couldn't wait to run into you and ask you. So right off the hop, like, how did it start? How did you become a hockey agent? And then how did Thunder Creek start?
Well, I can put, first of all, Thunder Creek's been around for 20, almost a quarter century now, 25 years. Brad Devine down from the Mortlach Moose Jaw area, actually where the Thunder Creek rolls through the, those parts, that's where the name came from. He started the business. I've been in for 10 years now, and I made a, you know, I was a professional rodeo bullfighter for 12 years and represented myself basically at a time when there was not a lot of endorsements really around rodeo and whatnot. And when I retired from bullfighting, I had a really good group of sponsors and contacts. So what I did was I basically persuaded my contacts to sponsor the Roy family, which was also from Asquith, where I grew up, and three of them have won national titles. So it wasn't like I just randomly picked a bull rider. I had a pretty good family. In fact, Aaron is still going. He's a three-time Canadian champion, won over $1 million. So that kind of blossomed into a little business I had. I, at one point, I had almost a dozen bull riders here in Canada I was representing. And Brad Devine, had seen some of the, well, number one, he was a fan of the Western lifestyle and the PBR and whatnot. And at that time, Aaron Roy was garnering a lot of press, you know, on the world stage of bull riding and what he'd accomplished and some of the injuries that he had sustained and overcome. So Brad knew who Aaron Roy was and saw my name attached to it a few times. And Jeff Helprell, I think, you know, Jeff, he had been working probably for 5 or 6 years at that point, who was a buddy of mine. He kind of just told Brad, like, yeah, I know this guy. So they brought me into the office, and I had it was in December prior to the World Juniors here in Saskatoon. And I had the pleasure of having some awesome tickets for all them games here at SaskTel Center. And following that, you know, like that New Year's Eve, I don't know if you guys were able to be at that game here at SaskTel Center when Canada beat US. It was, I've been to some deadly, deadly rock concerts in my life, and I've never been in a building that was that loud.
It was buzzing. So
I was pretty excited to, you know, following that, yeah, I really wanted to give this a try. I believe it was about the second or third week in January, Brad called me up and said, yeah, we want to let you give her a go at this. And, you know, for a couple, 3 years, I probably looked at myself in the mirror a few times wondering what the hell I was doing, because it was not easy. It was a large undertaking and a lot of time and money invested for the first few years, for sure.
Jay, you guys cover a lot of prairie guys, obviously, from what I've been seeing. Is there method to you guys' madness, or do you guys just focus on that type of group of guys?
I do. I strictly focus on the Western Hockey League and Western Canadian guys. Unlike a lot of other agencies, they have recruiters that go out and sell you on your kids and why you should go with them. Well, I do all my own recruiting, and you know, I don't believe that I should try to pitch you on my agency and then let somebody else represent you. So I had a little different business model, and it was the business model that Brad Devine kind of had. And you know, I pride myself on, I have a relationship with all of my clients. You know, they're not just a name and a number to me. And that's, you know, it's proved to be a winning model. Would I like to have 20 guys in the National Hockey League? Of course I would, but I just don't know how you manage that, especially to get those kind of numbers to the National League. You'd had to have 200 or 250 high-end prospects, because high-end prospects don't always turn out to be pros at any level. We've seen it. You know, I think one of the most humbling experiences I ever had was going to a Husky game last winter, and they were playing, I believe it was University of Calgary. So it was Calgary, and the players that were on the ice that a guy would have forked out X amount of dollars for just to have as a client, you know, you would have bought him at the time. You would have said, if it, okay, for this amount of money, you could have this guy. You probably would have wrote a check for it, because that's how highly touted they were as 14 and 15 year old players. But anything can happen, you know, anything can happen after 16, 17, 18. Those are some, those adolescent years, you know, there's lots of things like girls. There's lots of things like the partying, and some athletes just can't, you know, maneuver around that. And they succumb to those pressures and those, you know, I don't want to say demons, but in some case, yeah, it is. So, you know, you gotta find the right mix of some talent and drive and character.
What, let's just go back to a little bit here to the other question. So when you take this position and, you know, you've kind of done your own thing, like you said, what was the learning curve like? Like, did you, were you nosing a book for a lot of it to kind of cover off what you needed to know? You can't do this, you can do this.
At first was the recruiting part of it. It was easy for me to recruit Bull Riders because I was the guy that basically the only guy doing it. So they didn't have options. The biggest learning curve right off the bat, Barney, was the recruiting part. And you're going up against the biggest agencies in the world. Like, they have representation all over, you know, all over the Western provinces. So you're going against CAA, Newport, Octagon, and you're selling yourself. You know, you're new in the business. It's not easy. I got very lucky, and Michael Ferland was my very first client I landed. And, went through a lot of stuff with Michael Ferland, a lot of stuff away from the rink, at the rink, and learn a lot that way. So that would probably be the first couple of years was the recruiting part. And then after you get a kid drafted, then you got to understand the CBA, and I'm still learning on that. Yeah. Because it's forever changing. You know, we had a new CBA here a couple of years ago. It was amended here for the bubble play. So there wasn't going to be a lockout after this season. You know, now we're lockout free, we hope, here for a while. And, but yeah, that was the biggest learning curve at the start, was definitely recruiting. And then since, you know, you get to know all the GMs in time when you have good enough players, and then it's how you, maneuver during contracts and whatnot.
How much traveling, you know, maybe put in perspective that way, how much time on those Saskatchewan, Alberta roads in the winter?
Back then, lots. It was actually quite good. I had a job with Wrangler Jeans at the time. you know, we're fortunate in here in Saskatchewan, and that was my territory, Saskatchewan, Manitoba. So I'd drive to Brandon, I'd do some work, pay my way there, and then I'd watch a game that night. The next day, I'd schedule around my Wrangler visits around hockey games. Wow, that first year I watched a lot of WHL hockey games, and that was the, you know, you get to know coaches, the GMs of the Western League teams. You know, I didn't get to know any NHL GMs in the first year, really. You know, I remember my first call from a pro scout, which was Garth Malarchuk with the Toronto Maple Leafs, on Michael Ferland. And I was just like, wow, like, who's this? You know, like,
want to buy some jeans?
Yeah, exactly. You can't be starstruck with that. So for the first few years, the Wrangler job was a nice segue into being at the rink. But I haven't done that with Wrang. I've been away from that now for 5 years. So first 5 years, I combined both and managed to keep the balls in the air.
And looking at your list of clients, you got a lot of like stand up people with like some stand up families. So as an agent, how big of an honor is it, or like, how does it feel when you can watch a guy like an Adam Brooks score his first goal, or a Chandler Stephenson hoist the cup, or a guy sign a big contract? Like, how the personal gratification, or just walk people through that.
Well, that's a really good question, Sean. Like, I have really solid relationships with my guys. So for Adam Brooks, even back being the WHL player of the year, like, you know, his time with the Pats there, it was always enjoyable coming, because it wasn't above Adam Brooks to have a 4 or 5 point night and just be an absolute stud on the ice. So, you know, it's like, you being proud of your own kids and with Chandler hoisting the cup, we were actually, my wife and I were in Vegas that night. It worked out that we were there to watch that game when they won the cup. So that was pretty stellar. Like, you know, everybody grows up. If you played hockey, you know, back in small towns, you're playing shinny on the street and you're playing for the cup all the time. So that's the closest I'll ever get to winning it. And I was pretty stoked for Chandler. But when you talk about stellar personnel and stellar families, that's number one in the recruiting for me at this point in the game. You all hear the stories about the hockey parents and the crazy hockey dads and the crazy hockey moms and whatnot. You know, we always go through the parents first, because in today's age, if you want one of these high-end prospects, you're recruiting these kids at 14 years old, which sounds ridiculous. Some younger, which is crazy, because they're not going to be pros until they're 19 or 20. But if I see any red flags with the parents, I don't even pursue it. I don't. Life's too short for that. You know, you got to let your kids be kids. And if they're going to be a pro, they're going to figure it out on their own with a little guidance. You know, I'm not saying just let them do what they want and show up at the rink when they want. They do need a little push and some direction. But for the most part, what they say, the apple don't fall too far from the tree. So if you got some pretty solid parents, you're going to have some pretty solid kids.
The legalities, obviously, in the business side of it today, what's the major thing, I guess, that you guys probably look out for? What are some of the things you guys look out for from a legality standpoint?
Like on a contract?
Yeah, just the major things that you have to watch out for.
Well, transactions up and down, you got to make sure. But the PA... The NHLPA is our friend. They really, over time you get to know each person that's the head of each departments and whatnot. The legalities, there's really no way you can really get screwed on that. And if I'm just using layman's terms, because it's got to pass through the league and it's got to pass through the PA. So what you got to really know is just understand how certain situations work for entry-level guys going up or down. For example, the 10-2C rule there in the CBA on late birthdays. I don't know if you guys understand how that works. So this year we had Braden Schneider drafted to the New York Rangers in the first round. Now he was an 02, so he should have, or an 01, so he should have been drafted the year before, but his birthday was after September 10th. Anyway, long story short, if you sign those guys within the first year of the draft, which is normally in July, correct? July 1 or end of June. If you sign that player before December 31st of the year they're drafted, you can actually have them as an entry-level guy for 4 seasons instead of 3. Oh. It's slides. It's called the entry-level slide. So we actually, I guess on a legality thing, we had to do some jumping through some hoops this year because we didn't sign them. We left it and we actually sent them to Hartford here on an American League contract with the understanding with the New York Rangers that he will sign March 1st. Because if you sign after March 1, then it counts, the slide will count for the 21-22 season. So there's little things like that you have to understand and know. There's a couple players signed right prior. Zeri signed. He could be an entry-level guy for 4 years now because he signed December 31st.
That's crazy.
Braden and Zeri were on the Team Canada junior team together. Yeah. So Braden knew what was going on his end, and Connor was signing his deal. And in the long run, I think we made the right move.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm quite confident we made the right move. So,
but what about those, you know, the guys that are going to Europe and guys that are going to play elsewhere, not just NHL? Do you deal with a lot of those too, JD, and, you know, guys going to play pro elsewhere?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you guys remember a name, Frank Banham, scored like 83 goals here in Saskatoon. Frank was a Thunder Creek client. So, played 20 years. He's a legend over there in Europe. So Frank's worked with us on all of our Euro guys going over. Also have a guy I work with that's actually a KHL Russian agent. You know, technology today, you zoom in with them guys, and you just, you know, Andre, my guy I deal with in the KHL, he reached out to me. They see who you have for players, and there was a couple guys I had that he was interested in this year, and I just kept that relationship, kept talking to him, because hockey was going on over there. You know, there was a time where I had a few players we were going to send over there, American League guys, but because we didn't know what was going to happen here on this side of the pond. So I've kept in touch with Andre, and we're already working on some guys for 21-22 in the KHL. Actually, we're working on it today.
So Andre would be what? He's a manager of a team, owner of a team. He's part of a team, or is he another agent over there that funnels guys out?
That's right. He's an agent over there. So you have to be certified as a KHL agent. I couldn't do a deal with I could get certified if I wanted to learn all the language and talk about legalities. I'm not interested. I'll be happy to split my commission with Andre and he can handle it. So
what's the, you know, not using names and whatnot, but as far as Europe goes, anything in Europe, KHL, Sweden, Germany, whatnot, what's maybe the one that you heard or you've had to deal with where it was just a total nosebleed noodle scratcher? You were just like, what are we doing here with this deal?
Well, Colby Roback, played in Brandon, good player, second round pick to Florida, and just couldn't find his way in the National League. And he come to me for some help. I got him an American League job 1 year, and then I couldn't find him an American League job. We sent him to Germany, Frank and I, and he got there and he just hated it. But he, in all fairness, he didn't want to go. And at his age, he wasn't prepared to just quit playing, you know, because that's what all these guys know. You can't forget, like, when these kids are 16 till they're done, they're told what to do, when to be somewhere. Like, you know, they're programmed to be hockey players, right? They train in the summer. They don't even know how to mow their lawns, some of these guys, because they've never started a lawnmower. And that's a fact. It's true. Nothing against them. It's just they don't know any different. So he went over there not really wanting to go, and didn't like it. Like, you know, I believe the condo wasn't what they said it was going to be. But it was a good learning experience for my first times having a guy over there. Frank was great. Like, he massaged the GM a bit and said, you know what, this is what we agreed upon. So it was, you know, it got made right. But I've forewarned all my guys, like, when you get over there, it's not like you're just you can just come home. Like, they could say, well, we're not paying for your flight home, so you got to make sure you got $3,000 cleared on your visa to pay for a flight home or whatever, you know, because once you get there, you're there. You know, you're not just turning around and taking the bus home.
In a big contract negotiation, how much back and forth is there with the NHL management side of it before you guys actually get a deal done? You know, we see this stuff on TV all the time, the back and forth. But behind the scenes, how much back and forth is there actually?
Well, it varies, very much varies on who you're dealing with and what you're dealing on. And if you're dealing on a bridge deal, which is your basic 2-year deal after an entry level contract, or like, for example, Chandler's last deal, Chandler Stephenson. And we got to throw COVID in there and the stoppage of the season. But we started talking this week, a year ago, and we finally got the deal done after they left the bubble in August. So that one, you know, call it 8 months. Chandler's deal prior to that, I did with Brian McCullen in 2 phone calls in about 4 minutes. Wow. You know, his $1 million deal prior to this last deal. What other deals? Like Severson's deal, that was right out of his entry-level contract. He signed the 6-year, $25 million deal, which in hindsight, it's easy to say you'd rather do the bridge deal and of 2 years and then sign that long one. But when you're throwing $25 million at a small-town Sasky kid that's 22 years old, you got to make sure you lay it out to him. You know, what the risks are here, and 25 million is still 25 million. And, you know, when the comps come in, you know, at the right, you know, that was the deal. It was a good deal on both sides for, and he'll get paid again. But for the most part, it just depends on the guy. You know, there can be some FU matches. There's been a few of those. Then phones hung up, believe it or not. Yeah, it can get interesting times, but that's what I enjoy about it.
What about?
Especially when you have something they want.
Yeah. Right? Do you deal with a lot of, you know, and going back to, I guess, to your days repping yourself as a bullfighter and all that, do you deal with a lot of the endorsements for guys too, whether it's NHL and maybe even some of those guys playing over in Europe? Like, would you touch that stuff there too?
Not in Europe. I don't. Once they're over there, it's WhatsApp, how's it going, or emails, just checking in. You know, like Dwight King I had over there as well, who won a couple cups with LA. And just checking them, you know, and that's it. You know, they're grown-up guys, right? They're responsible. They made the decision to go. But on the NHL side, yeah, you still – you know, I represent Ethan Bear, who, like, through COVID, we did a lot of endorsement campaign stuff with some First Nation groups. I kid you not, one, two calls a week, somebody wanting Ethan to do something. I had a lady reach out to me from up north somewhere. She was at a First Nations community up there and wanted Ethan to come up in April. They had an event, and we would, you know, obviously we'd look after him getting here and this and that. And I'm like, well, you understand? She'd give me the date, and I'm like, well, he plays the day before or the day after. I can't remember what it was. She's like, well, yeah, but we wouldn't keep him here long. He could just come up for the day and come back. And it was like it was like 6 hours north of Edmonton somewhere. And I'm just like, that's not how it works. Like, they'll probably have a practice or something. But so you have to educate some of the people that, you know, you can't, you know, it just doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
Besides the obvious talent factor, what are you guys as agents looking for in a prospective client?
Oh, what separates them from the rest in a game, no matter what level they're playing. That's what I go look at. You know, I'll go to a rink. Well, I'm going to use Connor Hobbs, another Regina Pat. I keep going back to the Regina Pats, but I went to watch a kid by the name of Colton Olenek play a Bantam game here in Saskatoon probably 10 years ago. And he was a second year Bantam. Connor was a first year Bantam. And I'll never forget how physical he was. Awkward skater. You notice that right off the bat, but a howitzer of a slap shot for a first year Bantam kid, but the hits he was laying out. So I went there to recruit a kid and I left wanting to recruit a different one. So I often don't go get a sheet with names or anything, try to shut off all the social media that's telling you who you should be watching and just watch for myself and see, you know, who has that, something different, you know.
Do you guys also, and I take this, how do I word this, family wise people wise do you guys sit down with these guys, like you said, their parents and stuff, and see, you know, what kind of people they are?
100%. Yeah, 100%. I mentioned that earlier, that if we see red flags with the parents, unless it's, you know, somebody like a Crosby or McDavid, I'm not willing to put myself through that. Because what you end up doing is managing the parents instead of the kids. And at some point you have to transition. And it's not easy transition for some families. You're dealing with mom or dad or both at times while they're 15, 16, 17. And then at that 18, 19, you transition. And once they're pro, you know, they're young men. You know, you expect to deal with them, but sometimes, I still talk to the parents of most of my clients, actually, but, if you're representing both parents and the son, there's not much time left for anything else. So you try to make sure there's an understanding there that, you know, you let me do my job and your son, I'm sure, is going to do his.
Any quick stories, not using names, that you kind of chucked up some flags or, you know, started the vehicle pretty quick and got the heck out of Dodge?
Actually, one of the first families I visited, I went and had, it was awesome. We drove out and they had, cupcakes, coffee, you name it. We went out and I had another guy with me that had been recruiting a little bit for Jeff Helperl. And I remember the kid telling me, you know, I asked him, like, what's your goals? And he said he wanted to be a mechanic. And I'm like, mechanic? I'm here trying to recruit you to be a hockey player. And he just more or less busted himself that, you know, like right there, that's where I didn't call him back. That was it. That's where it ended. So I don't know where he ended up. I know he didn't end up in an NHL draft anyway.
Is he a mechanic?
You know, Sean, I didn't check, but I know one thing. He did not. He was a first rounder in the Western Hockey League, and he never drafted to the National League or played any significant pro hockey. So,
what about crazy parents, though? I want to know like a crazy parent kind of story, because we've had a bunch of people ask us about that.
I did have one once. Okay, and here's a good one. This is. I might incriminate myself a little bit here, but this was pre being married, obviously. Anyway, there's a kid playing out of Alberta somewhere. I'll give you that much. And he was in a relationship or the dad was in a relationship with someone else and the mom was with somebody else. So anyway, I had heard from the team, talk to the mom. She's the better person to talk to. And my buddy Pete Vandermeer, who was working with me at the time, I don't know if you know the Vandermeer boys, Pete, he's an absolute beauty. He had already talked to the mom a little bit and said, yeah, nice lady, great. So I talked to her a few times and she was all in. She was all in. And then she gave me the heads up, well, you should probably talk to, you know, XYZ's father as well. And I said, well, 100%. I was just under the understanding that you were making the decision. She goes, well, I am. I said, okay, well, that's perfect. So all I got to do now, it should be a layup to call the dad. So I call the dad and he starts basically ripping into me about going behind his back. And I'm just like, whoa, 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 whoa. This is not, I'm calling to introduce myself, blah, blah. And then he goes, and I know who you are. And I'm like, okay. You know, I didn't really know what that meant. And, because I rodeoed a lot in Alberta, so that you never know where this is going to go. Right. So he's like, I know who you are. I know what you're about. And I can't figure this guy out. Like I'm asking him to tell me what the hell he's talking about. And then, he says, you used to date my, girlfriend or fiance or something. And I didn't know who she was. I couldn't remember. Like I had no idea. I just like, okay, I'm not winning here. Like, this is way too offside for me. Blow the whistle, go to the penalty box, serve my 5-minute major and take a 10-minute gross misconduct as well. And I never called back, not to the mom or to him either.
That's awesome. So,
yeah, it sucked. It was probably the weirdest situation I've ever been in a recruiting mode anyway. Yeah.
One of the listeners DM'd us said, if my child ended up being a late developer and at 19 years old hasn't panned out, do you have a plan to continue to provide him with the resources and support as you did at 15 if he's really starting to show things at 19, I guess is what they're trying to say.
100%. I think we'll use Adam Brooks as a perfect example. You know who else are two great examples? Brandon Wheatking's players was Michael Ferland and Mark Stone. You know what, they probably showed it at 18 though, you know, they really did. They kind of took off, but Adam Brooks had a real tough go at 16, 17 years old. And it wasn't until halfway through his 18 year old year where I think it really turned around for him. And then look at him at 19 and 20, he was drafted as a 20 year old in the fourth round. So yeah, there's lots of those stories. And those are the stories, like that's how I had to make a living, was off those later guys. You know, it was pretty tough to recruit somebody that was going to be a potential first round pick when you had really no experience in the business. It's tough.
Do you pick up a lot of guys, you know, that have maybe been in the A or the coast up and down kind of there, and then, you know, things aren't working out with their agency, and then they come over and say, hey, you know, can you maybe help me out here? I'm thinking about jumping ship.
Yeah. Dwight King was one. You know, he won a couple Stanley Cups and wasn't happy. Turner Elson, kid that played in Red Deer, was undrafted. Been looking after Turner for a lot of years. And you get that comes from a guy like he was teammates with Ferland, right? In Abbotsford when the American League team was the Heat there, Abbotsford Heat. He came over. Ryan Stanton. Derek Dorsett was one of my guys in Vancouver, and Stance was there. And actually, we were looking after Ryan's younger brother, Ty, who was a Medicine Hat Tiger at the time. And he just couldn't believe the attention and the conversations that I was having with Ty and that he wasn't having with his agents. So I forget how that got hooked up, but he's been a great client over the years. Blair Jones, kid from Craig, Saskatchewan. You know, Jonesy was one of those guys that came over, you know, in the middle of his NHL career. So yeah, you know, and that's probably one of the biggest compliments or pats on the back a guy can have is when your clients are referring guys to you, or if they've heard, you know, that you really care about your guys and look after your guys. And, you know, it's nice to get a guy that's already making dough and not 14 years old that you got to invest 5 or 6 years into hoping they make, you know, make a return on your investment.
Youngest a family or has reached out to you about a kid?
Oh, that's reached out. I reached out to a 12-year-old.
Sorry, fact, maybe that's a better question. What's the youngest that you've reached out to a family?
He was second year Peewee. Nolan Allen was his name, or is his name. He plays for the PA Raiders here. He was the third overall pick. I'd heard about how good he was, and I went to Watrous, actually, to watch him play a Peewee game. So that was the youngest kid I recruited. Talked to his dad there. We had a connection. It was Chad Allen. Remember Chad Allen won a couple gold medals and played for the Blades here. I knew Chad and knew Chad's wife. So it's Chad's nephew. And actually Chad was coaching that game because his son was on the team. So yeah, he was unbelievable to watch. And I remember driving home and called my partner, Blake Evans. And I'm like, I don't know, you might think I'm crazy, but I'm actually going to make a call on this kid. I think I just watched one of the best skaters I've ever watched in my life at this age. And
wow.
Yeah, that's how it started. And he's still my boy now.
Yeah. So that interview kind of ends cold there because there were so many other stories, and we're going to get him on again and hopefully a couple of the other guys from Thunder Creek down the road here. Just some, again, great insight, I guess, into the mind of an agent these days. And, you know, some of the other stuff, like he has other stories too about guys that were late bloomers.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, you never know. So you want to keep at it, keep your kids on the ice and keep those pigeons rolling. Cause you never know. They might hit it big. And hey, there's been lots of late bloomers and lots of guys, even I think you mentioned on there, that were like mega studs young and then stopped developing. So you never know, you know, what's going to happen. The older guys getting, you know, more they develop.
So the interview wrap up for 2020 Geomatics, if you're looking to, you know, you need a land surveyor in your life, hey, Malcolm Vanstone and the team at 2020 Geomatics anywhere in Saskatchewan can hook you up. Their experience there.
Shinko, I was just going to say, as the weather's actually warming up, we're still got some cold ahead of us. So if you need anything done on your furnace, new air conditioner coming up this spring, Aero Plumbing and Heating, give those guys a shout. You need an electrical done, Cathedral Electric, yep. Spoons, Dave Spooner will come take care of you, and honest pricing, good guys.
So that's, yeah, impromptu twirl. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Head to Freeze Tallman and buy your windows. Big window sale going on there. So that's going to do it. Stay tuned this week. Twirl, yeah. What is it, 38, 39,
38?
40? Yeah.
So, well, this would be, yeah, it'd be 39, I guess. So, yeah,
yes, because this is 38.
Man, we've been smashing it all year. It's been giving her, so it's been good. Yeah, 39 coming up.
Richie Pilon coming. That's a storyteller, man.
Beauty.
Some real, real good long stories. Yeah, you're going to want to tune in. The Mark Messier one's an all-timer. So.
Oh, ultimate. Yeah, one of the best stories I've ever heard. You do not want to miss this twirl.
Thanks, everyone. Tune in, subscribe on Apple and Spotify, and thanks to all the sponsors, and we'll talk to you later this week.